May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Since we are in this season of summer, I'll talk a few things about a holiday. I wonder what is your favorite holiday destination? I wonder where it is that you would want to go back to again and again and again. Well, I have had the opportunity of going to quite a number of different holidays. A few memorable ones is that once, while I did go on a safari, and the promise of this safari was we will be able to have our lunch outside our vehicles in the wild where animals and lions walk around. Well, it was quite interesting. Our lunch was very short-lived because we could have turned out to be the lunch of the lions for that afternoon. The other memorable one I do remember was going and enjoying the beautiful white sands of the coast of Kenya and just going deep and seeing the coral reefs down there. Absolutely magnificent and really beautiful. And then I was taken to Scotland, promised to see the great Nessie. I still go back to Scotland to look for Nessie. Such an incredible and beautiful land that I always want to go back there and to enjoy Scotland. Beautiful. Well, the scripture message, the gospel reading this morning, is about an experience that a crowd had, an experience that was absolutely incredible, that they wanted to come back for more. Come back for more. But before we delve into today's scriptures, let's think about how we got here. What's the context around this passage that we have just read this morning? Of course, it is Jesus Christ going around teaching and preaching. And this one time he was teaching for a number of days, we do read from other gospel writers. 3 days continuously, just speaking and teaching. I wonder whether I should try that here today for the next 3 days. No, I'm not going to do that. But Jesus just spoke and spoke and spoke and taught. And the people listened and the crowd grew and grew and grew and grew. Someone was not listening to Jesus. Someone was counting these people. 5,000, it seems. 5,000 people were gathered there. And there was a problem because people are beginning to get tired. And the disciples realized that actually, we are going to have a problem in our hands if we do not do something. And there was a consultation, a committee meeting that they sat and wondered, how do we solve this problem that is right in front of us? Well, someone came up with a very brilliant idea. Well, I know what we can do. What if we just send them away? Let them go away and sort their own problems. After all, it is them who chose to sit here for more than 3 days listening to you, Jesus. They had not planned very well. Let's send them away. And then another one came with an idea and said, well, it was actually Philip was like, well, we could get them something to eat, but surely these people, there are so many, it would be so expensive. So expensive. Even a half an year's wage could not be able to buy food for all these people. But even if we had the money whatsoever, which shop would have such an amount of produce to provide food for all these people? And then Andrew comes with that brilliant idea. Hey, there is a young boy here. I do find this portion of scripture quite interesting because here's a grown-up man, Andrew, you know, wanting to nick a young boy's lunch, you know, but that's another story. It says, here is a young boy. And as we do know this story and as we read last week, out of that young boy's lunch, 5,000 people were fed. And the disciples went away, each with a basket full of bread. It's quite interesting. There was no fish left, but bread was left. Lots of bread, but no fish. But I'll come to that in a moment. Because I do think that in this story, there is an unsung hero that I always insert into the narrative myself. This is not anywhere in the scripture. This is just someone that I do insert myself. It's a person who prepared this bread. It could be the boy's parents, the dad, maybe, or the mom, never know. Or maybe the boy's guardian, or the grandparents. But someone prepared that bread. Someone caught the fish, but someone did take time to bake that bread. Packed the lunch for this young boy. Someone did the normal, ordinary thing. A boy is going out, let us pack lunch for them. And it is out of this ordinary thing that Jesus turns into an extraordinary miracle that becomes a blessing to 5,000 people and a basket full for each of the disciples. And sometimes we do get lost, fatigued, or even paralyzed by the great grand things that we might want to do. Not to say that we should not aspire to do them, but at times it is the normal, ordinary things that in Jesus' hands become extraordinary. It was just the ordinary stuff in Moses' hand that became to be a great symbol that God continued to use for the rescue of his people. It might just be a simple phone call to a friend, to a colleague, a brief chat just by the bus stop, a simple, warm, welcoming face, simple baking of bread that in Jesus' hands becomes a blessing for so many people. And of course, as the story concluded last week, we heard that when people saw this, what they wanted to make Jesus the king. They wanted him to be their king. He had provided for them, so they wanted him to be their king. Well, just a simple fact that this year is a very extraordinary year in the world, because around 97 countries are heading for elections this year. In other words, more than half of the world's population will be having an opportunity to elect their new leaders. The world population is around 8.2 billion at the moment. So we're talking about 4 billion people this year having an opportunity to elect their leaders. Of course, we know not everyone votes and all those kind of things, but almost half the world population. And politicians are out there saying all manner of things, doing all manner of things so that they can get the attention of the electorate and get themselves elected. And I just wonder how politicians would have reacted being the ones who have provided this miracle. Win by a landslide. But Jesus did not see this as something that he sought. Jesus did not see this as an opportunity for him to take over the leadership of the land. The people themselves wanted to make him king. But what Jesus does is he not only sends his disciples away, but also withdraws himself to a solitary place. He does not seek power, he does not seek accolades, he seeks to serve. But the crowds themselves, they do not give up. They continue looking for Jesus, trying to find out where is he, counting the number of boats that were along the shores. Surely we saw only one boat go and he was not in it. They took time, even the next day, to look for Jesus. And of course, once they meet Jesus, we do get an understanding of why they're looking for Jesus. But there is something else going on here that is quite interesting. Because the crowds are looking for something. The previous day they saw Jesus and they wanted to make him king. The crowds have been looking forward to someone who would come and lead them. For years, they have been looking forward to the fulfillment of a prophecy. Prophecy of the Messiah who would come to deliver them. So even as they seek Jesus and as they seek this bread, it's more so for them to see whether this is the promised Messiah. John, as we heard last week, of course, he does write a lot about signs. And for them, it was more about a sign. Jesus, are you the one that we have been waiting for? Because we do know something. There is a relationship between the person whom we are waiting for, the promised Messiah, and bread. And they do say in that dialogue that they have with Jesus, that this is what Moses did to the people in the wilderness. They believe that the Messiah as well will be there to provide this bread, this manna, to his followers forever. And there is something that I do admire from this crowd. I do admire their belligerent search for Jesus. They do go all out. Even at night, they were still thinking, plotting, looking at the shores. Has Jesus got into the boat? Where is he? Looking for Jesus. What a beautiful thing, looking for Jesus. The commitment, the desire, the passion. It had not mattered to them whether they had listened to him for 3 days, but they still wanted more of him, to hear from him. A lot of times I find myself praying that God may grant unto us this passion, this desire, this commitment to look for him, to search for Jesus. That our hearts may forever yearn to find Jesus. Just like David says that he desires to be in the presence of the Lord for the rest of his life. That we will search for Jesus. Search for him in the scriptures, in prayer, in fellowship with one another. That we would look for him in the serving of others, being hospitable, care of those who are in the margins. That we will desire nothing else than to be in his presence. That his kingdom may come and be established here among us. A kingdom of justice and righteousness. But again, as we have just seen, Jesus is just Jesus. They wanted to make him king. He withdrew. They come to him the next day. And rather than pointing them, the crowd, to him so that they can continually be always not be fulfilled, he explains to them more about this bread and what it's all about. The nourishment that he provides once and for all, that he himself is the bread. That what they were looking for, what they were searching for, is indeed right in front of them, Jesus. And to receive this bread, they needed not to do much, but to believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus. We do have our reading from Exodus as well this morning. And of course, it tells us the story of God providing manna for the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And there are quite a number of things as well that happen in that passage of scripture this morning that I think might be worth just mentioning. You see, it was barely 3 months. Actually, it was just 2 months and 15 days since God had delivered them from Egypt. That miraculous delivery from Egypt. And here they were in the wilderness, complaining, grumbling, saying to God, why did you deliver us from Egypt? We would rather be in bondage and comfortable rather than free and miserable. Barely 2 months, grumbling, complaining. And today we do see this in the world, isn't it? Complaints, grumbles, chaos across our cities, our communities. People saying things, voicing things. Communities disgruntled, being on the edge for one reason or the other. And of course, there is a big question, what do we do? Well, we could borrow a leaf from what Moses did. Moses had a conversation with God. And out of this conversation, a solution was found. A miracle of the provision of manna and quails. Having a conversation with God. And in my view, I just think these two passages this morning are calling us, as Christian people in this country and across the world, inviting us to have a conversation with God. To take the difficult stuff, the impossible stuff, the sad stuff to God. How do you feed 5,000 people? Take what we have to Jesus. How does Moses, quell a grumbling crowd, have a conversation with God? And of course, that does not mean that we do not have a responsibility to live our lives in a way that is kind to each and every person. But we as Christians people, we do have a responsibility to take these things to God. The way that we do this is to take them to God in prayer. Because once we take this difficult stuff in our lives, in our communities, to God, He not only just provides a solution for us, but it is one that is a lasting solution. He points to Himself, He who is able to change and to transform, to heal and to reconcile. The yearning that the world has today is a yearning to see something different. And this difference comes from God. This bread that Jesus speaks about, He is the bread of life. Once we have it once and for all. To access it, we have to believe in Jesus. I just want to conclude with the words of one very popular hymn that we all do know about having a conversation with God, taking things to God in prayer. We have sung these words many more, quite a number of times, but I just want to read them out this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Amen.